Well, good morning. Bring greetings in Jesus' name. Good to be here. Enjoyed the service so far. Many of the thoughts that I shared, I guess I was thinking similar thoughts to what Kevin was sharing in the devotions about Christmas and why Christmas? Why do we celebrate Christmas? What comes to your mind when you think of Christmas? Many of us have thoughts, different thoughts that come to your mind. Maybe you think of family gatherings, getting caught up with relatives you haven't seen for a while. Or maybe it could be the thought of Christmas saddens you as you think about loved ones have gone on before and no longer with you, no longer here to share Christmas with you. Or maybe it's just you and your family planning a nice dinner at home with just your family. Those are good thoughts about Christmas. But is that the only reason? Also had to think about the world's view of Christmas. Today, Christmas has evolved from a one-day event into a highly commercialized festival. Starts right after Thanksgiving through the Christmas holidays. Businesses spend thousands of dollars on advertising, trying to get people to spend millions of dollars on expensive gifts and excessive decorations. Santa Claus, reindeer, Saint Nick, Christmas trees, lights, many distractions that the world is trying to get attention away from the true meaning of Christmas. You walk into a store, there's jolly Christmas music, jangling bells, glimmering lights, crinkling wrapping paper, all clamoring for our attention. However, after the presents are unwrapped, the decorations are torn down, the fun and festivities are over, the music has stopped, and the lights are turned off, many, many people feel empty, feel dejected, they feel alone. Why? Why Christmas? What's the point? Why do we celebrate it? And am I being affected by the world's view of Christmas? I think we as Christians have a good understanding of what Christmas is about. We know the real meaning of Christmas, but I think it's good for us to keep it in front of our minds, keep it, remember the why of Christmas. So I'd like to title the message, Why Christmas? And I have five reasons why Christmas is important, and I would just like to write them on the board. Title this Remember, Christmas is about remembering what Christ has done. And first one I have, Christ's mission. What is Christ's mission? What is his purpose? Why did he come? I'd like to start with Matthew chapter 1. Christ's mission is the most important part of Christmas, and I'd like to spend the most amount of time on this. Matthew 1. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Here's his mission. For he shall save his people from their sins. He came to save. why is it that so many people fail to realize and take of this salvation? He came to save, but many people don't take that gift. I think it's because they aren't willing to give up themselves. They love self more than they love Christ. They would rather please themselves more than please God. Turn to Mark 10. Mark 10 and verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to give his life a ransom for many. Do you understand what a ransom is? I had to think about the captives in Haiti. They had a ransom that the gang members wanted them to pay in exchange for their release. I think it was $1 million per person, a huge ransom. What is your life worth to God? Jesus gave his life as a ransom, his life. Instead of you dying, Jesus died. That was his mission. He came to give his life. Turn to 1 John 4. First John 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He came so that we might live. He came because he loved us, not that we loved him, or he had any guarantee that we would love him in return, but he came because he saw man's deplorable, sinful state and where we were headed, where we were destined to. And God had compassion on us and he loved us. He sent his Son into the world that we might live through him. Turn to John 17. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Another purpose, another mission that Jesus had was he came to glorify his Father. And he did that by finishing the work he was sent to do and giving us eternal life. Turn to Galatians 4. Galatians 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, than an heir of God through Christ. He came to make us sons. He came to redeem us, to set us free, and making us heirs of God. The story of a gentleman. He was once passing through a slave auction block back when there were slaves. And he was walking around there, and he noticed a little girl who was crying, tears coming out of her eyes. And she was going to be put up for sale. The other slaves of the same group did not seem to care about it. They were used to it. But each knock of the hammer off the auction block made this girl jump and shake. The kind man stopped to inquire why she alone wept. He was told that the others were used to such things, and they might be glad for a change of hard, harsh homes, but that she had been brought up with much care by a good owner, and she was terrified to think who might buy her. The stranger asked her price. It was a great sum, but he paid it down. The tears fell again on the signed parchment which her deliverer brought to prove to her her freedom. She only looked at him with fear. She had been born a slave and knew not what freedom meant. When the gentleman was gone, it began to dawn upon her what her freedom was. With the first breath, she said, "I will follow him. I must follow him. I will serve him all my days." Many, many people reasoned with her against that, but she only cried, "He redeemed me. He redeemed me." And so let it be with us. Christ's mission in coming to earth was to redeem us, to free us from bondage, so that we might in turn voluntarily choose to surrender and serve him. Christ's mission was to redeem us. Also, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Christ's mission was to come to earth as a man. He was made like we are. He understands us, and he knows how it is. He knows our struggles. He knows our temptations, and that makes him a merciful and faithful high priest. He is interceding for us. Next point I have, we are to remember. Christ was born. The reason that Christmas exists is because Christ was born. A child was born, not just any child, but the Son of God. the Christ child, the Messiah. His name was Jesus. Christ was born to accomplish his mission that we talked about earlier. On Christmas, we get to celebrate that beginning, knowing what is to come. Without Jesus' birth, there would be no cross. Without his birth, there would be no resurrection. It is part of the story. I'd like to read some of that story. You can turn to Luke 2. Luke 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. A beautiful story, the story of the Messiah, the birth of the Messiah. But so many people missed it, and so many still miss it today. Or maybe they don't miss it, but they reject it. Why did they miss it? I'd like to read a poem, or I think it's a song. How should a king come? Even a child knows the answer, of course. In a coach of gold with a pure white horse, in the beautiful city in the prime of the day, and the trumpets should cry, and the crowds make way, and the flags fly high in the morning sun, and the people all cheer for the sovereign one, and everyone knows that's the way it's done, that's the way that a king should come. How should a king come? Even a commoner understands. He should come for his treasures and his houses and lands. He should dine upon summer strawberries and milk, and sleep upon bedclothes of satin and silk. And high on a hill, his castle should glow, with the lights of the city like jewels below. And everyone knows that's the way that it's done, that's the way that a king should come. How should a king come? On a star-filled night into Bethlehem rode a weary woman and a worried man. And the only sound in the cobblestone street was the shuffle and the ring of the donkey's feet. And a king lay hid in a virgin's womb, and there were no crowds to see him come. At last, in a barn, in a manger of hay, he came, and God incarnate lay. And the angels cried, Glory, glory to God. Earth was silent, so heaven, So heaven rang, "Glory, glory to God." Men were dumb, so the angels sang, "Glory, glory to God. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Glory, glory to God. Christ is born in Bethlehem." Many people missed it because he came in such a lowly way. They were not expecting a king to come in that way. Why is Christmas important? Point number three. God's promise was fulfilled. When man had first sinned, it wasn't long before God had promised and began revealing his plan to defeat Satan. You can turn to Genesis 3. Genesis 3 and verse 15. This was right after Adam and Eve had sinned, and God was giving the consequences, giving the curse to Satan. And he says, God says to Satan, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." I think this speaks of God revealing his plan to defeat Satan, offer salvation to the world through his son. The enmity put between thy seed and her seed, I believe, refers to the conflict between Satan and Jesus Christ. Jesus came from the seed of the woman. The phrase, "thou shalt bruise his heel," refers to Satan's repeated attempts to defeat Christ during his life on earth, including the death on the cross. And the phrase, "it shall bruise thy head," foreshadows Satan's defeat and Christ's victory when he rose from the dead. Also, God's plan began to take shape with his covenant to Abraham in Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This was a promise that crowned all the rest of the promises. It pointed forward to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the greatest blessing to the world. He is a family blessing. By him, salvation is brought into our homes today. There are many other prophecies that foretold of Jesus' birth and the promise of a Savior. Our Sunday school lesson in Isaiah talked about that a child of hope is born. All of these promises were fulfilled. God keeps his word. Point number four, why is Christmas important? We need to remember his future. We talked about some of this already in Christ's mission, why he came to earth. But I think it's important we need to think about why Jesus came to earth. It was because he came to die. Much of the world likes the thought of Jesus as a baby. But when it comes to his life as a man, his Sermon on the Mount, his discipleship program, leaving all behind, following him, his humility, his cross-bearing lessons, is death. They would like to think about something else. I think many want to just keep him as a baby because that doesn't take self-denial. The nativity scene doesn't require a cross, but Calvary does. And we need to keep that in our mind. Are we any different? Do we like the cross? Or would we just rather keep him in the manger? Yes, we need to know the miracle of the Christmas story. We need to recognize Jesus as an infant coming to the earth as a baby. But we also need to remember that Christmas is an opportunity to remind us of what Jesus did, not only as a baby in the manger, but as a savior of the world. Also, as we celebrate Christmas, Christmas was the first coming of the Lord, and so we need to look for and expect his second coming. I think it should remind us of that Jesus is coming again. Are we looking forward to his second coming as much as we look forward to Christmas? 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we looking forward to his future, to his second coming? Why is Christmas important? Point number 5. His generosity. God gave us a free gift. John 3:16, maybe we can all say that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave us his Son freely to us as a generous gift. Revelation 21. Verse 6. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Again, God has generously provided what we need for life and a way to him, a way to overcome, a way to inherit all things. Matthew 10:8 says, freely ye have received, freely give. Now I have 5 quick practical ways that we can keep Christmas important today. Number 1, remember to slow down. There's a lot of hustle and bustle over the holidays, and I'm not saying it's all wrong to have big plans for Christmas. But it's easy to get caught up in the busyness, the plans, the food, the gifts, and maybe forget or maybe get distracted of the why behind celebrating Christmas. Take some time to breathe. Find the quiet. Find the quiet, find the calm. Slow down enough to think about why Christ came and thank him for this gift. Just tell a little story. We were at the Mexican restaurant, and you know how it is there, probably. Loud music, noise. And I said to the waiter there, I said, It's music is so loud I can hardly think. I can hardly hear myself think. And he said, think louder. And I'm not sure that I can do that. I need quiet. Find the quiet, find the time to think. Number two, share with others. Another way to honor Christ is by sharing our material blessings. Help those in need. Often when we sit down at our loaded Christmas dinner tables, we forget about the many people in our nation having a difficult time providing for the basic necessities of life. Also think about those in foreign countries, Haiti, Africa. They're in dire need as well. Thousands of people are malnourished, starving each day. Christ taught by both word and by example that a true Christian is willing to give and share with others. I just would say make effort to share. Give food, clothing, money to help the many who have much less than we do. Also, we must be sharing the good news of salvation with others. Number three, family time. For many people, this is one of the best parts of Christmas. Spend time, family get together. I think it's good. But never forget what brought you together in the first place. Celebrate Christ with your family. Thank God for the special time when you can connect with your family. And if you don't have family coming, maybe invite someone to share the day with your family. Read the Christmas story. One of the memories that blessed me growing up is I remember my dad gathering the family together on Christmas Day and reading the Christmas story in the Bible. And if you've never done this, maybe give it a try this year. It helps keep the focus where it belongs. It reminds us that Christmas wouldn't exist without Christ. And number five, remember to worship. The angel and the multitude of heavenly hosts worshiped. Praise God. The shepherds went and worshiped Christ. The wise men traveled many miles to bring their gifts and fell down and worshiped Jesus. And we also need to worship God. Make that your goal this Christmas, to worship. Take your eyes off the things of this world and look to heaven and worship. Make him the focus in everything you do. Live your life in an attitude of worship and give glory to the one who gave the gift no one else could. I have a poem yet, King of Eternity. One night in a stable in Bethlehem's town, the King of all kings from heaven came down. He was born of a virgin, as the prophets foretold, came to the sin-cursed earth from a city of gold. There's never been a king with a name like his name. He gave sight to the blind and healed the lame. His kingdom extends through infinity, but the reason he came was to save you and me. He needed no crown to prove he was king, no title or deed to show he owned everything. The heavens proclaim his majesty. He's the Ancient of Days, the King of Eternity. Let's remember that first Christmas, the why of it, the purpose of it, and most of all, the hope and promise of his coming again. Let's kneel for prayer.